Well, last week, the world welcomed the newest member of the royal family, a little boy to Prince Harry and his wife Meghan, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex. And you may have heard when Harry's older brother, Prince William, was asked for any parenting tips, he announced, well, he had plenty of advice to give. But for now, he was just glad to welcome his brother to the sleep deprivation society that is parenting. The sleep deprivation society, to which every parent of young children in the world said amen. It's something of which every parent knows only too well. And all week long, the news has been dominated with this subject of the joys and the challenges, the highs and the lows of parenting. And in the plan of God, that's our theme for our service this morning. We're going to be looking at this whole subject, parenting, training our children. And there is a certain degree of hesitation when a minister or pastor comes to speak on this subject of parenting children, especially when his own children are so very small. Let me tell you the experience of one minister. I used to think I was an expert on raising children. Then something unprecedented happened. Something that put all of my neat, tidy theories under strain. I had a child. So please understand this morning, I do feel profoundly aware of my own inadequacies in this subject. I realize a lot of you have gone before me in this. A lot of you are very experienced parents, grandparents, even great-grandparents. So we stress at the outset then, it's God's word we're turning to for help and advice. It's not yours truly. We're turning to the perfect word of God for clear guidance on this subject of parenting and training children. And specifically one verse out of Proverbs 22, and it's verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And so it goes without saying, I'm going to be mainly addressing parents this morning. Not just those parents who are busy with children at home, but I think also those parents whose children have grown up a bit and left home. At whatever stage on the parenting journey you're on, I think this verse is relevant. But indeed, I'm addressing everyone this morning, parents or otherwise, because everyone here is involved with this subject, the training of children. You've probably heard it said that it takes a village to raise a child. The idea there is that parenting is so difficult, so complex, so relentless that even the best parents need others to come in alongside them, take an active interest in their children, to speak to them, befriend them, love them. It takes a village to raise a child, the saying goes. But couldn't the Christians say, well, it takes a church to raise our child? Because it's in the church, isn't it, that our children find a whole community of people who really and truly love them, for better or for worse, if you like. It's in the church that we find people who have a deep concern for our children, not just physically or emotionally, mentally, but spiritually. And later in our service, as part of Martha's baptism, the whole congregation will be asked to stand and make a promise to pray for Martha, to set an example towards her, just as we've done for all of our young people. So all of us this morning, we're involved here with this subject of training children, whether you have children or not. By your prayers, by your example, you're implicated here in this verse. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he's old, he will not depart from it. Four things we want to think about from this verse this morning. Going to think of the need for training, the time for training, the manner of training, how do we do this, and then the encouragement for training. Firstly, the need for training. These words are one of the proverbs of King Solomon, one of the wisest men who ever lived. And notice his precise words in the first part of the verse. Train up a child in the way he should go. So Proverbs speaks a lot about the way. It speaks a lot about the right way to go, a way to follow. Chapter 4, verse 11, the way of wisdom. Chapter 8, verse 20, the way of righteousness. Chapter 9, verse 6, the way of insight. Chapter 10, 29, the way of the Lord. So it says a lot about that way, and then it also speaks of a way that's to be avoided. The way of the evil, 4, verse 14. The way of a fool, 12, verse 15. And then very helpfully, chapter 14, verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. So do you see, the book of Proverbs makes it very clear that there's two ways. A way to follow and a way that leads to death. And the writer in this verse is saying, our children need trained in the way they should go. And our children are born with a bias towards one of these ways. If you've ever played or watched someone playing bowls, it's not particularly riveting. But if you've ever played or watched someone playing bowls, you will know that the ball used for bowls, it has a bias built into it, if you like. It's built to roll a certain way. And our children are similar. They have this bias, if you like, this inclination that they have to sin. If you let them choose for themselves in every possible way, they will choose wrongly. Any parent will know you don't need to train your child to do wrong. You don't need to train them to rebel. You always need to train them to do good. And we should be slow to listen to people who tell us that our children are little angels, because we know they're not. Even the best behaved child can still find themselves in situations where they've been deliberately bad, willfully bad, even if they don't totally understand why. And generally speaking, we know this, when children are corrected, they don't like it, and they're quick to show their disobedience and anger. And sometimes if they were old enough, they would want to kill someone. They're so furious. Temper tantrums remind us of the need to train our children. Terrible twos, they remind us of the need to train our children. Stroppiness, laziness, selfishness, rebelliousness reminds us of there is a need to train our children. They desperately need direction in their life. And sad to say, actually, if they don't find that from their parents, they will find it somewhere else. That direction, they'll find it maybe from their peers as they grow up, or the media, the culture all around them is feeding that bias. And so as parents, we need to wake up to the seriousness of raising children. We need to be profoundly aware of the solemn thing it is to bring a child into this world. Here's an existence that will continue to all eternity. And no power in heaven or earth can crush it out of existence. And one of two ways lies before it. The way they should go, or the way they would be inclined to go. The way they would go. Heaven or hell. It's no accident. Jesus said, John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The need for training, the way they should go. The need. Secondly, then, the time. the time for training. And it's clear the time for training children in these things is early, isn't it? In fact, very often, the earlier the training, the easier the work and the more encouraging the results. You can change the entire direction of a river if you go to the source. You can determine the direction, the growth of a huge oak tree if you work with it when it's young and tiny and tender. And in a similar way, the training of our children. That's why the footnote for this verse in some Bibles is translated, start a child in the way he should go. It refers to early work, starting them. From the moment they're born, they need trained. The Bible's telling us the key time is these early days, months and years. In some way, it's not a flattering analogy. I tried to think of a better one, but in some ways, children are like wet cement. They're workable and pliable early on, but they harden. They harden fast and quickly. And everything in our culture is seeking to harden them all the quicker. So let's not leave the work of training children until it's too late. Never say to yourself, well, I think they're too young for that. I think they're too young to start out in the way they should go. The crucial, the key, the important time is the early days and months and years. However, that's not to say if our children are a little bit older or a little bit more independent that they still don't need training of some sense. And surely, as long as they're under our care, we're required to train our children. In fact, the word for child here can speak not only of an infant, but also of a person in late adolescence, even young adulthood, so teenagers, even creeping into young adults. In other words, it's not only when the child, in other words, it is only when the child is left home that this training is no longer required. So young people living still at home, you're included here in this verse. Teenagers, you're included in this verse. And there's a requirement here to submit to parents' training. And it will look differently, of course, as children grow older and develop. But you're still not too old to receive your parents' training. So establishing then the need and the time for training our children. Let's think then, thirdly, the manner of training our children. And this is a really big one to think about. Have you ever noticed how many different types of parenting approaches there are? From what you might call friendship parenting, where the parents treat their children like little buddies and we're best friends. Friendship parenting to the other extreme, dictatorship parenting, where it's ruling with an iron fist and intimidation and threats. These different approaches to parenting. It's all well and good being convinced of the need and the time to train our children. But the question so many of us are asking is how do we best parent our children? And I want to give under this three helpful reminders that a very helpful minister of the gospel gave in the late 1800s. So a long time ago, but extremely relevant. A man called J.C. Ryle. And he has an extremely helpful little part of a book called Duties of Parents. And it's all about his expanding on this verse, Proverbs 22:6. But he suggests 17 things to remember for parents. I want to highlight just three of them. And the first is this: remember God's example. In the whole manner of parenting, parents would do well to remember God's example. And that is to say, if we want to train our children well, we should think about how the Heavenly Father raises children. We should think about how God, as our Heavenly Father, trains children. He is the perfect parent, the only perfect parent in many respects. And He knows each of His children intimately. He knows their strengths and their weaknesses. He deals with them as individuals. And surely can we not say that we should be dealing with our children as the Lord deals with us? He's our model in parenting, you could say. We should raise our children to be completely assured of our unconditional love for them. After all, isn't that how God raises His children? We should make it clear to our children that we're not too busy to make time for them. After all, isn't that how God raises His children? We should not hesitate to guide our children, even if they think we're being unfair or unreasonable. After all, isn't that how God raises children? Let's not be slow at times to rebuke our children when necessary, correct them whenever they need it, however painful it might be to us. After all, isn't that how God raises children? When it comes to the whole subject, let's not think we're wiser than God. And let's seek to train our children as He trains us in many respects. Remember God's example. Remember God's example. A second thing to remember, remember your example. Remember your example. Because the training we give our children will do little good if it's not backed up in our own lives. C.H. Spurgeon says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, but be sure to go that way yourself." Be sure to go that way yourself. We need to remember that, the power of an example. Our children are learning so much more by what they see than what they hear. They're like little sponges, and it's a horrible thing seeing your weaknesses replicated in them. And we should be remembering and be careful about what we do and say in front of our children. Will they think it's really important to read their Bible if they never see you read yours? Will they consider it a priority in their lives to go to church if they don't see that a priority in your life? Will they speak respectfully to others when they don't see you speaking respectfully to others? Will they consider it necessary to be honest if they hear you shading the truth in all sorts of ways? What we say to them, the way we teach them, could be word perfect, but it's worth nothing if it's not backed up by consistent examples. In many respects, raising children, it's far more important who you are than what you say. And it's hard work. It's a battlefield. And none of us live perfectly consistent examples. So we need God's grace, don't we, to be able to say to our children, as Paul said to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." What a challenge that is to parents this morning, grandparents this morning, church members this morning. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Remember your example. So God's example, your example. And remember to pray. The whole manner of training. Remember that God's example, your example. Remember to pray. Because without God's blessing, our best efforts can't do anything for our children. And unless He works in their lives by His Spirit, we'll achieve nothing. There was a father who prayed for years for his children. When his children went to bed, he would go into the bedroom and he would stand over his children and he would pray for them every evening as they went to sleep. And as they got older, he would wait until they were asleep And he would go in into their rooms and creep in and pray for them. And even later, when they'd left home, gone to college, university, and gone into the workplace, he would still go into their empty rooms and pray for them. And one day, he was talking to his grown-up children at this point one day, and he mentioned that he still prayed for them every night without fail. And they said, "We know, Dad, we know you do." And the father was surprised. He asked, he said, "How do you know that?" And they said, "Oh, we see the footprints in the carpet. We see the footprints in the carpet any time we go into that room." Surely, friends, no one can pray too much for their children. I think of how Job cared for his children's souls. How early in the morning he would rise and pray for them, thinking, "Perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Isn't this the goal, after all? We don't just merely want their behavior modified. We need God to change them. We need their hearts completely transformed. So parents, let's throw ourselves into this once again, bringing our children regularly to God in prayer. Lamentations 2, verse 19. "Pour out your hearts like water before the presence of the Lord. Lift your hands to him for the lives of your children." Lift your hands, an image of prayer there. Lift your hands to him for the lives of your children. Remember to pray. So the need, the time, the manner of training, and then fourthly, the encouragement for training. The encouragement for training. And really, we've dealt with the first half of the verse. We're coming to the second half of this, where it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." And maybe you've been waiting for me to get to this part. What is being said in this part of the verse? "Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Does this mean that if we train our children in the right way, it's 100% totally guaranteed they will remain in that right way? Does it mean that? Well, friends, surely you'll know, to our own heartbreak and disappointment, that children at times choose not to follow the way they've been trained. And many Christian parents struggle with this verse because they struggle with the fact that maybe their children are not where they ought to be in relation to God. How do we understand this then? Well, we need to remember where this verse is found, don't we? Where are we? We're in the book of Proverbs. What is the book of Proverbs? Well, rather than it being a collection of hard, fast rules, laws, and promises, rather than that, Proverbs is a collection of wise sayings, a collection of heavenly inspired, perfectly inspired, common sense principles for life, general observations in life that are often typically true, but not always. They're not promises, then, in that sense. Proverbs. So this text doesn't guarantee that when children have received all the training and received all of that, it doesn't guarantee they will never stray when they're older. If it did, this verse would be a sledgehammer of guilt for Christian parents. I think of the man God used to write these words, Solomon. Were these words totally, perfectly fulfilled in his life? Well, he certainly received godly training from his father, but later in his life, Solomon strayed badly. So while this isn't a 100% ironclad guarantee, there is so much to encourage parents in this verse. And that's why I've called this the encouragement for training. Sometimes the fruit of training our children is seen immediately. It is early in life, and it is lasting, and it is constant. Praise God for that. Sometimes it's more a case of Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1. Cast your bread upon the waters, for after many days you'll find it again. As the proverb says itself, sometimes the fruit of training our children is only apparent when they are old. Perhaps not until a godly parent has been laid in a grave. And is there not encouragement here for all of us in this? You might not see with your own eyes the results of your careful training. And I reckon there will be many, many children who will rise up on the last day when Christ returns, and they will bless their parents for good training, even though they never gave any sign from benefiting from it during their parents' lives. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. So let's seek this morning to cultivate this parental faith in the God of the covenant, trusting not to what we see sometimes, but to what God is doing and what he's able to do, with patient hope, praying the fulfillment of this proverb. Let's press on and pray on at remembering the covenant mercies of the Lord. They're new every morning. And parents can leave behind for their children something worth far more than silver and gold and property. Parents can leave a treasury of prayer for their children. And we can trust God to accomplish his own gracious will, knowing the judge of all the earth, he will do what is right, and he will lose none of those who are his. It's not easy to train children. Everything in the world fights against it. Children fight against it. The devil fights against it. The world fights against it. Our own sinful nature fights against it. But parents, this morning, all of those involved in training children, I charge you solemnly before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, make every effort to train your children in the way they should go, in the way of Jesus Christ, the way of eternal life. How precious Christ is. What a mighty work he's done to provide us and give us salvation. How precious it is for God to say, I will be God to you and to your children. So let's use every means of grace to bring our children to Jesus, whatever age they might be, that they might have eternal life through him. Let's train our children well. Train them well for this life. Train them well for the life to come. Train them well for earth. Train them well for heaven. Let's train them for God, for Christ, and for eternity. Amen.